Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, March 11th of 2020. Wow. We're almost halfway through March already. Where's the time going? Where? I know one thing, it's going by quick. I'm so glad that you could join us tonight, wherever you may be, and however you are joining the broadcast tonight. And I'm your host, as usual, the Miracle Man. And, you know, it's always a pleasure every time that I get to do the broadcast, and you guys just keep tuning in and listening. If I sound different tonight, by any means, it's not my voice, that's fine. It's just that we found an adapter so that my headphones can plug in to my new phone, because Apple, a couple of years ago, they made the decision to take out away the headphone jack on the iPhones that were newer than the 6. No, maybe it was newer than the 5, than the SE. But now we got the adapter. And now we got the headphones. But they need to find a way. We need to be able to put a tracker on the headphone, on the headphoney porty thingy. Don't you think?
Yeah.
They need to find a way to put a tracker on them. Because we can track our phones. You know, if I lose it, my parents can track it, and then if, you know, Vaughn has a phone, your brother has a phone, and somehow you use it, they can help track it for you. The same thing should be able to happen with your little thing. With your, what do they call it, an adapter or a port?
I think it's called an adapter.
But it's not connected in any way, so it wouldn't be trackable?
Right.
Would it be trackable or no? Because obviously we can locate the phone, but you don't know about locating the...
Yeah, no, I doubt that's terrible.
If only.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Because that way you could just go to wherever it was to find it. It's in your bedroom, or maybe you left it at the coffee shop or whatever. Of course, I don't drink coffee, but who knows, folks? That could have been the last place you were. One of you folks may have been when you lost it. Or maybe at the office, or maybe at the restaurant. Could have been the park, but why anyone would leave it there, I don't know. In this kind of weather.
Quite a few listeners right now, Ruby.
I'm so glad you guys all tuned in. Apparently, I got a notification that we have a lot of people listening, and it's so great to have you guys tuning in. I'm excited to get into the Word of the Lord and what God has for us tonight. By the way, yes, I did go to Ponderosa, home of the best crispy dry wings that you will find. That's generally what they'll call dry wings, is wingdings, right? Home of the best wingdings you will find. Slightly spicy on the outside, crispy and crunchy on the out and inside. Along with all the other great food, and the ice cream, and the mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese, Swedish meatballs. I know, I know, I'm ministering to somebody right now. Good. That's good cooking. And you may say, yeah, well, weren't you worried about the? Nope. God has not given me the spirit of fear, spirit of love, spirit of power, and a sound mind. And you know exactly what I was after when I think that someone would say, well, weren't you worried about the? And then I just said, nope. Mm-hmm. And then but regardless of what happens, you know, God is on our side. God, and God is fighting for us. He really is. And there's a song, listeners, that I'm going to sing about that, and it's called In Jesus' Name. And so, but every enemy has to leave at the sound of the name of Jesus. And you know, whatever the thing is that could be going through, and other pundits are saying it could take us all out, trying to put fear in us. We have a choice. Do we choose to be fearful, or do we choose to trust God? That's the choice that we have to make. And I can and will tell you, you know, trust in God. But it's up to you what you actually do. I don't come on all the time to talk to you about walking by faith and not by sight, trusting in God and not living in fear, only to live in fear and anxiety. I do not do that because I know God is on my side. God is. Yes, wisdom is great, but at the same time, I don't allow anxiety to just, because anxiety and fear, yeah, sometimes we might get a little bit nervous about something, but if we allow that to control our life, then it can just totally get in the way. And you see, David had a giant to face, Goliath. Goliath was way bigger than David was. David was just a youth. Obviously back then it wasn't like they had grades like they do today. So we can't say, you know, he was a middle schooler or he was a high schooler or maybe a college student, but he was a young man, a young person. And he took down that giant stones in a sling. And of course, you know, the giant kept trying to charge at him. Oh, by the way, when that giant was charging, David could have chosen to just let fear grip him. But he didn't. Nope. The giant yelled something, and then he said, "You come after me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come at you with the Holy Spirit." And then he takes him down. And Goliath is basically 10 feet tall. Some of these basketball players that are about 7 feet tall, 6'9", 7'1", 7'3". One guy in my church, former basketball player, he's around 7. Remember Joe Cozy? Remember Mr. Cozy? That one super tall guy? You do remember a super, super, super tall guy, though.
Maybe.
And if I'm right, you would say he was about 7 from what you remember seeing? Close to 7?
Yeah, probably. That's it,
though. Because there was one that seemed like way taller than anyone else. Right? Remember now?
Yeah.
Yep, that's by him. But Goliath, he was almost 10 feet. But Goliath, nope, he wasn't no basketball player. He was after you. He was a Philistine giant. But it was God. God helped him take him down. God helped him. God was with him. And if God is for us, who can stand against us? And another thing I want you guys to realize is not everything is possible with man. But with God, all things are possible for those who believe in Him. All things are possible. All things are possible. And I know who I am believing in. And I know no matter what it is that we face, God is with us. And some of you may be saying, "You've been talking about this a lot the last couple of days. Are you okay?" Yes. Oh, yeah. It's just with the news and how they're talking about the coronavirus and stuff, I just want you guys to always remember, God is on our side. God is fighting for us. With God, you know, with God, when the oceans are raging, you don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid because I know that Jesus loves me and His love never fails. And so, a few minutes. We're going to sing a couple of songs, actually. Thinking about that, and I was feeling like I'm supposed to sing Your Love Never Fails, too. Because it's powerful. And I just feel like God really wants to comfort us in whatever we're going through. Also, I know that Jesus Christ is the hope of man. And when times are troubled, Jesus brings hope. He does. Yes, he does. Sorry about the pause. I'm just taking a sip of my holy water. I mean, my icy cold Coca-Cola. Speaking of which, listeners, we've been singing a song several times. Lately, we've sang it at my church. It's called Holy Water. I'm not going to sing it tonight, but I will sing it possibly Monday. No, I think I will Monday night, because if I'm going to sing it, I want to get the lyrics right. And I love it. Basically, what it's about is the forgiveness of Jesus is like sweet honey to our lips. It's like the sound of, they say a symphony, but I would change it to a marching band. So it's something I would say, right? That I would change it to marching band. That makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like what I would change it to, don't it? Yep. Because someone like me who, it's like the sound of a symphony to my ears. And then it's like holy water on my skin. And by holy water, I don't mean like what the Catholics use. I'm talking about like holy, sanctified water. And just a really good song. It talks about not abusing God's grace. Because I don't ever want to abuse his grace. I don't ever want to do that. I don't ever want to do that. Yes, I'm going to get into the Word of the Lord in a few minutes. But first we're going to sing. There were just some things. So I've been sharing the last few minutes. And sometimes I might have been talking about other things or whatever. I just felt like there were things that God wanted me to share. And I feel like I'm supposed to share some stuff. I'm going to share it. Hear that, listeners? I didn't say I'm going to. I said I'm going to share it. All right. So, listeners, I want you to tell people that you know how they can be a part of the show. First, let me take a minute to explain. Generally, we run the show Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday between 6:30 and 8 o'clock. As for that noise you hear, yes, I am at McDonald's. Excuse me. I'm at McDonald's at 1711 South Saginaw Road here in Midland, across the street from a Kmart store. A closed Kmart store, albeit. Okay. Why are we called Miracle Man? It's called Miracle Man because I believe in miracles. And Jesus has done so many miracles in my life. The healing miracles include healing my kidneys when I was very little, healing my immune system. He healed me of cancer. I had cancer, which had greatly weakened my immune system. Now, I'm not necessarily getting sick more than the average person. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And he healed my hands from warts. They found my ear connection to my left ear in Chattanooga. They attached it. Oh, that was a great day. Couldn't sleep for two days. Kept wanting to hear the word of God. Kept wanting to hear stuff. I was in the hospital. They were doing a surgery. But when my eyesight gets made manifest, everything else is made manifest. What a day that will be. What a party that's going to be. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But that's why we call them miracles. Because I've received miracles, and I greatly believe in miracles. I often teach. I don't always, but I often teach on the miracles that Jesus has done. I am not a Bible thumper or a bully. I am not a Bible thumping bully. I am just a man of God who loves God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of what it's done in my life. I believe we are real people who have real problems, but we serve a real God who is willing and able to deliver us and strengthen us. Amen. Now, you want to call in and talk to us, me, about generally anything you want to talk about, whether it be sports, whether it be what we read tonight. Maybe you want to tell me about what some of your favorite food stuff is. We can always talk about that. Whatever else, as long as it's not political, you can feel free to call in whenever you want, whenever we're live. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into the live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken through an assistant. My assistant will let you be taken to a call screener. My assistant will let me know that we have a caller, and then we'll let you on, and then I'll say, what say you? And you can credit Bill O'Reilly for saying the what say you thing. Yep, the great Bill O'Reilly. I remember when he had the Radio Factor. I used to listen to it quite a bit. Praise God. I'm going to sing a couple songs for you. First one I'm going to sing, In Jesus' Name. God is fighting for us. God is on our side. God, he has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. Heaven's on our side. Jesus, you are here. He's carrying our burden, carrying our strain. We shall overcome, yes, we shall overcome. We will not be shaken, we will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. I will live, I will not die. I will declare and lift you high. Alive in me, for I am healed in Jesus' name. God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. I will live. I will not die. I will declare and lift you high. Alive in me, I am free in Jesus' name. I will live. I will not die. Resurrection power of Christ alive in me. I am free in Jesus' name. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that could not be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out. I will live, I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me. I am free in Jesus' name. I will live, I will not die. I will declare and lift you high. Christ in me, I am healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing could separate. Even if I ran away, your love never fails. Nothing could separate, even if I ran away, and your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. You never fail, Lord. The wind is strong and the water's deep. I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. Oh, no. The castle was far too wide, and I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails. Stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Oh no. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Let's sing this chorus of Our God, and then the ending. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that nothing can stand against you. Nothing can stand against your word. Nothing is greater than you. There is no being higher. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the storm calmer. You are the way maker. You have the answers for us. Christ for the world today. You are the answer for the world today, Jesus. I pray that people would find the answer. Would you mind picking up my cup down underneath? And then just put it back, and then just put it back on the table. I'm going to refill it later. What? What'd you say? I'm sorry. You can just go ahead and reach under and grab it. I'm not going to, because I'm going to keep going. Anyhow, thank you, Jesus, that you are with us. You are on our side. You are the one who makes the way for us, whether there seems to be a way or not. You always make a way. You always make a way. Did you find it? You always make a way for us. Even when there is, when we don't think there is one, you have the way for us. You have the way for us, Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you are with us. You strengthen us. And I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on us. Thank you that you would just strengthen us. May this word, as we study your word, may the word strengthen us. May it empower us. May it just get in our heart and in our soul so that we can live for you. For you, the way that you intended us to live. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. And I make my confession over the show. I call this show blessed beyond what we could ask and think. Thank you that the blessing of the Lord is on the show. People are reached, lives are changed, people are healed, people are set free from all kinds of vices. I thank you, Lord God, that sponsors and partners are coming into this program. I thank you, Lord God, that increases in listenership are coming. I thank you that finances are coming. And most important, I thank you for souls, a huge harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Woo! Amen. We love the word around here. Luke 10. Luke 10. And I want to encourage you while I'm turning, I want to encourage you, follow along, please. If you got a Bible with you, open it up. Study with me. If I sing again, you sing. If I pray, you pray. As I'm reading, you go ahead and follow along. As I exhort and summarize, you pay attention. Take notes. Participate. Don't just sit there and spectate. Because this isn't necessarily just a show so that you can watch it. Amen. Luke 10. Let's see who beat me. I purposely was turning extremely slow as I was explaining, hoping that maybe somebody could beat me there. Pastor's teased about that before, but it was years ago. But I still caught on when he did it. Amen. All right. We're in chapter Luke 10, verse 1. If you're not there yet, you're going to be shipped to New Convert School. Just kidding. Verse 1, chapter 10 of Luke, NIV. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of them to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' Not 'Peace out, I'm out of here.' Peace to this house." Because I know some of you young people might have been thinking, is he saying he's leaving? No. Say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you. For the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and you are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and you are not welcome, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin and Bethsaida, for if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But you will be more, it will be more bearable than for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And pay attention to this now. 10:19, pay attention. I give unto you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means harm you. Verse 20. However, do not rejoice when the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy of the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden those things from the wise and prudent and have regroup and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this is your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one is who the Son is except the Father. No one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you, many prophets and kings wanted to see what you have seen, but they didn't see it. And to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it." Let's talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" he answered. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side as well. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took compassion on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine." By the way, listeners, not the wine you would get from the store. But pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the prep that had to be done, all the preparations that had to be made. But as I just said, all the prep that had to be done. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. You see, so what we see here, listeners, is the Samaritan. You know, someone had asked Jesus, teacher, you know, what are the commandments? You know, like, what's the most important commandment? And he said, what, Jesus asked him what he thought. And the guy said, love the Lord, all your heart, soul, strength, mind. And he also said, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, yes. Then Jesus told the man the story of the Good Samaritan. So in the story of the Good Samaritan, a guy fell in the hands of robbers. Or as we would say it, he was robbed. Obviously, we don't know at what point. We'll just say he was robbed at point. Because obviously we don't know at what point, because it was way back when, right? We just know he was robbed at some kind of point and hurt. So, needless to say, so he's sitting there on the side of the road, hurt, bleeding. A priest happens to be going down the same road. A priest does, passes by on the other side. Another guy, a business guy, passes by on the other side. But then someone else saw him, went right to him, bandages him up, puts him on his donkey, takes him to an inn to take care of him. I don't know if the sin meant an infirmary type thing, or like a hospital or a hotel. I would assume the former, probably a hospital type thing, wouldn't you think? Probably, yep. So he basically takes him, and then the next day tells the innkeeper, take care of him. I'm gonna reimburse you for whatever medical expenses you have. Whatever extra expense you may have, but obviously it was, you know, wound care and stuff, so we'll say medical care. That guy, that Samaritan, he had mercy on that man who had been a victim of a robbery, possibly had some other stuff, possibly had some things taken from him too. Possibly. But I'm not focusing on the crime. I'm focusing on that Samaritan helped him. He loved his neighbor as himself. That good Samaritan was awesome. He chose to help that man. One other dude just said, I'll stay out of his way. I'm going to go by on the other side of the road. For whatever reason, they just didn't care. They were too busy to help. But the other guy was like, nope. I'm going to help this man. See what he needs. And when he saw what was needed, he just stepped right in. Because you could tell, you know, that this guy was not, he didn't just have a little scraped knee. No. The guy helps him. And then ends up getting better. Then, in the next story, check the time. In the next story, Jesus goes to Martha and Mary's house. Mary is just sitting there right in front of Jesus, loving on Jesus, letting Jesus speak into her life. And he's all like, Jesus, minister to me. Help, you know, minister to me. I want to love on you. But Martha's all distracted because of all the work that has to be done. Because she a high-profile guest in her house. She's thinking, well, Mary, are you going to help me? Come and help me. And she's probably thinking, you can let Jesus just sit on the bench, or you can just let him sit on the bench or sit on the couch and just be comfortable while we do the work and get the dinner made. Because I trust, obviously, they had the house clean for him. Martha, you know, Jesus says, suddenly Martha gets so disappointed. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to go to Jesus and ask him about this. Jesus, please make Mary come and help me. Make Mary come and help me. Because obviously, if there's prep steps to be made, I think it's safe to assume that it was making food. Would you think? I would think. But yeah, he was making food, I'm assuming. So Jesus said, you are worried about many things. Mary has chosen what's better. And that is to love on me. I've Let me tell you what that does not mean. Jesus did not say that for the purpose of Jesus did not say this for the purpose of just saying, you know, you don't need to help. Say, you know, you don't need to help.
You don't need to work. You don't need to do anything. We were saying Mary's made the better choice. Sit here and love on. And because Jesus loves people who help. He does. That good Samaritan shows to help somebody. God wants us to love other people to the point where we see them going through stuff, we'll help them when they need a hand. He really does. And if God sends people our way, we should help them and not just let them sit there and suffer. Imagine if that guy, that guy who got labeled the Good Samaritan because of what he did. Imagine if he, just like the other two, passed by on the other side. Maybe he could have been like, well, I hate to see him suffer, but I'll come back by in a few minutes or maybe in a couple hours or something. He might have not been there in a couple hours. He might have died. But he cared. He decided, I don't want that guy to suffer. He decided, I don't want that guy to suffer. I'm not going to sit there and let him suffer. That's what he decided. He stepped in, helped the guy. Tended to the guy's needs. You know, scraped him up, washed his wounds, gave him medicine, gave him, you know, let him rest. Gave him good medical care by the family. No, I'm not teaching about medicine. I'm teaching about people helping us. When we see that people are struggling with stuff, we should help, not judge. We're supposed to be helpers. You're in the church, you see someone struggling, help them. And don't look funny at them either. Because we're supposed to help other people. Oh, by the way, we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're supposed to love them, even if we don't agree with how they live or what they say. By the way, you don't have to love sin, but you do have to love people. It's not permitted for us as Christians to hate anybody. We don't have to like everybody, but we have to love everybody in the love of the Lord. We do. It's a requirement to love our neighbor as ourselves, regardless of who that neighbor is. By the way, don't it? That even means if he's your neighbor and the only thing you ever see him do is cut you off in his car with his motor that is super loud and wakes you up at 3 a.m. every morning. I hope you don't have a neighbor like that, don't it? Do you? Do you have a neighbor like that? Oh. But we are supposed to love on people. That doesn't mean we should just allow them. You know. Let everything spread to us. We should be ministering to them. And I'm sure that Good Samaritan, if this other man did not know Jesus, I am sure that this other man told him. I am sure that he told him about Jesus. I don't have to guess. I'm like, for sure, that he told him while he's sitting there in the bed, whatever. I'm sure after they got to the inn, got them all bandaged up. I'm sure this happens in real life, because I don't think Jesus just tried purposely to make up stories. He wanted them to be real life. Jesus told these things in parables so that people would be able to understand. That's why he did that. Because people would wonder, Jesus, why are you saying everything in parables? Why are you saying everything in parables? You know, Pharisees, Sadducees. By the way, as I've said before, remember, Jenny, I've said this way before. It really is Sadducees. One pastor will say Sadducees, another will say, you know, it really is Sadducees. But, yeah, because they just go out. But the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, and they'd all be sitting there, and they'd all be going like, why do you teach the parables? So that way people can help people relate to the story. It was not about trying to make. And made up stories. He wanted it to be as real life as possible. Because I'm sure you'll see this. I've encountered, we've seen this before in the past when I've been in a car. So, one time, me and someone back like almost 20 years ago, me and someone who went to my church, who used to live in Bertrand. He used to live in Bertrand. I had an appointment in Ann Arbor that day, and my mom and brother had went down. He had rode down with us, and then my mom and Ray dropped him off at the house, and I choose to ride with him to the church. So, we get into the car to go to church. We're on 75, everything's fine. Get on 10, near about the Freeland exit. The car basically decides, I'm done. I'm all done. I'm giving up. I'm done. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Kai. I'm giving up. I'm not going to work for you no more. I'm not talking about someone saying that to me. I'm talking about what the car did. The car basically decided to die. And so we're sitting there for a few minutes praying. We're sitting there on the shoulder. Some cows, obviously since we're on the shoulders, a lot of cows just pass by. But then some guy decided to, he saw us sitting there on the side of the road of US 10. A busy federal highway, not busy like 75 down like by Bertrand or Saginaw, but I mean, still considered a federal highway because as the U.S. designation, you know, right? Yeah, so it's just not an interstate, but has that federal designation. So, yeah, but they're on 10. And this guy stops his car. And he says, "What's going on, guys? What's going on, guys?" And he's like, "Got a collar shoe." She could kind of tell that that car had basically given up. It was an Oldsmobile, and they basically had decided, well, you know, I'm finished. Not, it wasn't me, you're the guy who said that. It was the car, right? The car, and the car basically said, it is finished. And we had the slap. But, so you can kind of tell. So he's like, "What do you guys need to go?" And me and the man say, "You know, we were in the route, one route to living in a church." And he's like, didn't quite know where it was at. But apparently he was en route, to Midland. I'll say. And so he's like, "You know what? I am going to take you guys to church. I'm taking you guys to church." This guy saw that we were having an issue. Because people don't just sit on the side of the road for the purpose of taking a break. As a matter of fact, really, you're not supposed to, are you?
Probably not, unless you're, like, broke down or something.
That's what the rest area is for. What?
I'm not sure what the laws are.
But if you're that close to the... Generally, if you're that close to the road... You're not taking a little break.
Right. Yeah, generally, for sure.
So he could... We had only been there, mind you, for like 15 minutes. Maybe 20. He was like... "It's not what you saw, you know. It's not normal for people to just... be sitting there." As you could tell, you know, we're sitting in the car... And it's not running. And he decides to just step right in. And he took us out to the church. I'm trying to remember. I don't think that guy even asked for money. Or nothing. He just decided... "Nope. I'm taking your church." Mind you, yes, we relate to church. But that Samaritan chose to help somebody. You know, we talked for a few minutes. I forget whether he had any kids or not. But for all we know, he was done. Maybe he did have kids, maybe he didn't. if you did, it would have been pretty close to 7 o'clock, coming home from work, probably. Wanting to get home to the kids, but deciding, you know what? Someone is over there on the shoulder, and I want to see what's going on, see if I can help. I think he knew God. I might have to ask this man, this other guy, because I know the guy who I was with very well. He now lives in another state. He helped us. He got us to church. Because I'm sure my mom was like all worried. At the time, she didn't have cell phones. This was back in 02 when a great many people had cell phones, but also a lot didn't. Now, since everybody has cell phones, she'd be in like a panic attack. Almost. You're like, what's going on? But you're able to say, we got to church late. That guy decided to do a selfless act. He was very nice to us. And leave Joseph and I said something to him about God. He was very supportive. It was just a good story. And when I read you guys certain stories about things that happen in the Bible, and I have similar stories to tell, I like to tell them. Because it can help you folks understand. Some of you that maybe this is your first time hearing a Bible story. Or maybe the first time you've heard one in a very, very, very long time. And you forgot. But, like I said, and one time, me, my mom, and my brother were up to Grandpa's. We saw a couple people. They needed a ride to somewhere, like a parent's house or something, a couple miles down the road. It was a couple of people, I forget what had happened, something about their car or something. They'd come up from Davidson or something, somehow. And then we gave them like a 1 or 2 mile ride to that their parents' house or whatever it was that they had to go to. And so, it's real important to love on people. Just being nice. Even holding the door sometimes. You never know. Our love for people, it should be known that we love people, that we care about them. Even if we don't necessarily. Like the Samaritans, I am sure that God blessed them. And also, God gave us power to tread on snakes, scorpions, overcome the power of the enemy. God wants us to overcome. He doesn't want us to be overcome. He wants us to overcome. Amen. Lord, thank you for this message tonight. For that story of that Good Samaritan, for Martha and Mary. I thank you, Lord God, that we would choose to love on people as we go through life, rather than always just being by distracted, being distracted by whatever it is that we have going on, or whatever it is that we have assigned to do that day. You know, help us to just not be so distracted that we can't love people. Help us to always be concerned about people. Help us to be concerned about their soul. And help us, Lord God, so that we can take people to heaven with us. Help us to win souls, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. Help us. We need your help. Guide us. Lead us. As we go through this life, Lord. As you are our shepherd. As you lead us through the green pastures. And I thank you, Lord God, that this word has an impact on our life. And I thank you, Lord God, we would put this word into practice as we are not hearers only of this word, but doers. In your matchless name, we pray. Amen. Well, in terms of sport, Michigan State will be playing Rutgers tomorrow in the Big Ten tournament. They are the second seed, Michigan State. Rutgers is very low. Michigan, I forget who they will be playing, but they will also be playing tomorrow. Red Wings, they have a game tomorrow. Pistons, it's either tonight or tomorrow. Tigers preseason continues. We're only about 2 weeks. Just over 2 weeks from opening day. We're getting to that point where it's just a little bit over 2 weeks till we're to the end of the month. End of March. Will, can we, don't, can we please have that 7-degree weather before April 1st, please? Because it's been 7 years. I'm getting tired. Tired. Miracle March for the Miracle Man. Do you know where it is? Where? Because we need it. Maybe, who knows? Maybe on opening day. Maybe that'll be a sign. Maybe that'll be the day when the Tigers just start winning tons of games. Maybe Cabrera, who, by the way, has lost a decent amount of weight. Maybe he'll hit a lot more home runs this year. It'll help us get back on track a bit more. But it can't just sell Cabrera. Other guys need to step up, too, and get some more runs. And if our pitching can get better as well, that can help, too. There was quite a few games that were like these 3-2 losses last year, remember? There was way too many of them. Well, it was like 3-2, remember? That means those are games where if we could have just gotten some more runs from our batters, that we could have won quite a few of these. And could have, instead of being 100 losses, 106 losses, maybe could have been more like 89 losses maybe or something. Hopefully, with some better athletes this year, and hopefully better batting, combined with hopefully pitching improvements, we can maybe get closer to the 500 mark. I'm not saying that we're going to go from worst to first instantly. No. It's cool when you can, but that doesn't always happen. It takes time. Usually it takes some time. Doesn't take some time.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can require a new coach. I mean, a new manager. Right now they have the same manager. In baseball, the head coach is called the manager. So now that requires a new manager, but they still have the same guy. If they do not improve this year, I can guarantee you that they will get rid of their manager and hire a new one. Hopefully one that has experience with winning. If you want to be a winning program, it's always good to have a coach, or in this case, a manager, who has a track record of winning. Because as a sports fan, I think track record is important. I really do. Because everybody's in it as a team, coach and players. Can't always just blame the coach because the team did bad. Nope. That don't work. Saying in the case of this year, let the players step up. Let them see what they can do. Let them see how they can work on those stuff so they can hit more home runs. So they can. And if that doesn't work, then you just got to see what's going on. Okay, I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, as you, Jesus, have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No sickness, no disease. No fire, no flood, crash, no terrorist, no rapist, no murderer, no burglar, no suicide. None of this evil stuff will come near us or our immediate loved ones. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.